Dear brothers and sisters, we greet all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard already heavenly music by the wonderful instrumental choir, and we would like to praise our Lord together already here on the earth. And for this, we will sing song number 17 from these little booklets. 17, Near the Cross. We greet all who are connected worldwide, who are listening, and we want to praise the name of our Lord.
Thank you. Lasst uns noch Lied Nummer 15 anstimmen.
Let us also sing number 15. Redeemed, redeemed. Number 15. And things. My heart is overflowing with joy. It's something wonderful to be redeemed, brothers and sisters. It's the greatest what has been given to us, the redemption in Christ Jesus. We cannot praise the Lord enough. And today, all the heaven joined us. It was just so wonderful. The choir and the instruments praise the things. We would like to read a word for introduction, and then Brother Alfred Borg will pray with us. The instrumental singers, choir, remain standing, and after the prayer, they will go to their seats. We would like to read the word from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 13. Colossians 1, 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Then from verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Up to here, this precious word, we stand up for prayer. Brother Alfred, please pray with us. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that we can be here. You have gathered us from east and west, from south and north, led us to this place, from various languages and countries. We have come into your presence tonight to receive what you prepared for us. Lord, we are coming as we are. We have nothing to bring, but we know all things are coming from you. You know our hearts, our desire. Perhaps there is sickness in our midst. Perhaps weakness of the body. Needs, trouble. Lord, you know all things. Come. Go through our midst. Touch each one of us. Old and young. Lord, all of us, we need tonight your help. The moving of your Holy Spirit, your divine power. Please grant it. We thank you for the word which we heard already, for the redemption, for the deliverance. We thank you for the perfect salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let it be manifested tonight in our midst that you are present to confirm your word and your promises in us and through us. Please, Lord, grant it. Strengthen your servant according after spirit, flesh and body, so that he brings your word. We are not interested in human words, but in your living word, which you will give us tonight freshly from your throne. Please grant all the requests. Help us all together. We thank you for it, that you will do it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let us sing, Only Believe, Only Believe. Thou art worthy. May be seated. Once again, we welcome all of you very warmly in the precious and holy name of our Lord. When Brother Miskis read this precious word, the thought came to me, one should actually stand up. If one reads such words just out of thankfulness, out of reverence, standing up before the living God for that what he has done for us. Don't worry much about my voice. It suffered a little bit, especially on my last trip to the Far East. Air conditioning, they were taking care of it, that I'm not feeling so well. But we have two doctors, two physicians in our midst. And one of them, this afternoon, he made a check-up with me, and everything is very good. Everything is very well with me. Don't you worry. We welcome our brothers from Africa, from England, from Ireland, from all the neighboring countries, from all of Europe. May the Lord bless us together. and may he be with all of us. And in the same way, we greet all brothers and sisters worldwide who are connected with us and with the Lord. Then with greetings, I will be brief. Greetings from Moldavia, Ukraine, from Russia, from Bulgaria. Greetings from the Ivory Coast, from Burkina Faso, from Kolwezi, from Brother Etienne Genton, from Italy, from Dublin, from Brother Müller, from Rode, from the Germany, from Brother Graf, special greetings from Brother Paul Nyagi, from Nairobi, once again special greetings from South Africa, special greetings from Edmonton, special greetings from Brother Ngoma. All brothers are reporting of that, what God is doing worldwide. Greetings from Brother Moses. Greetings from Brother Motika and the local assembly in Johannesburg. Greetings from Abidjan. Greetings from Cuba. Greetings from Brother Luander. Greetings from Brother Lazarus. Greetings from Durban, South Africa. Greetings from Brother Patende. Greetings from Brother Lippold. Greetings from Brother Ilunga. Greetings from Brother Herrera. Greetings from Portugal, from Brother Oleg and cell there. Greetings from Brother Cecil from South Africa. Greetings from brothers and sisters from Auckland, New Zealand. Greetings from Finland. Greetings from Rwanda. Greetings from Brother Funa. Greetings from Cape Town. From Brother Bruce. Greetings from Burundi. Greetings from the capital of the Ivory Coast. Greetings from Kigali. Greetings from Romania. Once again, greetings from New Zealand. From Brother and Sister Anderson. Greetings from Durban. Greetings from Adonis. Greetings from Hungary. Greetings from Zambia. Greetings from Brother Pedro. Greetings from Uganda. Greetings from Brother Mara Kacek. Greetings from Angola. Greetings from Sydney, Australia. Greetings from Romania. Greetings from Ottawa, Canada. Greetings from Durban. Greetings from Lubumbashi. Greetings from Brother Josué, most probably French. Greetings from Brother Patrick. Greetings from Lyon. Greetings from Goma. Greetings from Uganda. Greetings from Poland. From Brother Domanski and Kashimir and Elisabetta and Brother Siswaf Kajewicz. God bless you all. And greetings once again from the Congo and from Malawi and from Brother Caleb. Once again from California. Once again from Poland. And once again from the Congo. Just take it like this. The brethren are joined with us. And when they send greetings, then it shows the inner connection. Then we have the good reports of that, what God is doing all over, especially from our beloved brother Erwin Pacheco, who translates up there. He came back from Cuba. We were there in February, and God has really blessed so richly that in March, he had to fly there again. And at the first water baptism, there were 28 people. At the second, 16 people. At the third, 12 people. All together, 50 people were baptized. And among them were 12 pastors, 12 preachers from Baptist churches. God has really given grace that the word could accomplish for what it was sent for. Excuse me. One could really give reports from everywhere of what God is doing right now. It's just very mighty. And we are all in great expectation that the Lord, very shortly, he will manifest and reveal himself in a mighty way, and that he completes his work, and that we are taken home. Actually, this is the purpose of our meetings, namely that we are prepared, that we get ready for the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I said it already. I have to read now at all places what was said to Brother Branham from this supernatural cloud. And I read it also now. I will read it time and again. I have to do it. Here, Brother Branham testifies. Many people, even newspaper reporters, they were standing there at the banks. There, it said again, look up. And when I looked up, this light came down. People fainted, and a voice sounded which shook the whole area, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. So the message which was given to you will be a forerunner of the second coming of Christ. Not that I would be the forerunner, but the message would be the forerunner. And this we believe with all our hearts. As sure as the Lord has fulfilled the promise, and at the first coming, he has sent John the Baptist as a man sent from God, with the message of God addressed to the people of God, to prepare the way for the Lord, to tune in the hearts so that they can receive the Lord, believing on him. And in the same way, it is happening now. It's really the last message, the calling out and the preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all of us, we know that God's promises, they remain. They don't stagger. As a German song goes, Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promises in his word. Heaven and earth may burn, mountains may move away, but he who believes will find that God's word remains forever true, as the German song goes. And the same applies for the promise which the Lord has given to us. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to take you unto myself, And as we read it yesterday in the city of Böblingen, in the Gospel of Matthew, our Lord spoke out the words when he had the supper with his disciples. Matthew 26, verse 28 and 29. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And now comes the second part, addressed to all of us, namely, but I say unto you, with whom I now together, with whom I celebrate the supper, I say unto you now, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Excuse me. That we can just believe with all our hearts. That all, with all whom he is together now, with all who are coming to him, who believe on him, who receive his word, with whom he can have the supper, with them he will sup again in the kingdom of God. And we may also belong to those who are not coming together out of just like that. No, we have an inner desire to have fellowship with God, to hear his word. And we can really say the most blessed days in our lives are the days and hours in a meeting when we are coming together
in Ehrfurcht und im Glauben zu halten.
To hear the word in reverence and to believe it. Then we have read from Colossians, this is the kernel of the gospel, of the proclamation of the gospel. And you all know, in these days, it's about that what happened on the cross, that we really accept and receive, really receive in accepting it. It's divine reality. The redemption is perfect, it's complete, and we have been redeemed completely. And as we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him making peace. I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, blessed and praised be our Lord. And then the most precious words, 21, 22, and you who are here today, us who are gathered here, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Also you, all of us, all of us who we are here today, who are listening and who believe with all our hearts. Yet now has he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Here is the mystery. Here the mystery is hit in the kernel, in his body of flesh, in his body of flesh. Adam and Eve were not sinning in the spiritual body in Genesis 1, no, in Genesis chapter 3. And this one has to see, after the Lord God made Adam out of the earth, when he has put him into a human body, then came the beguiling, then came the transgression and the separation from God. And therefore, the Lord had to come into a human body of flesh to accomplish the redemption and the reconciliation by his grace. Briefly, we will go into it. In the last circular letter, we emphasized in particular that the return of the Lord and our preparation is just very necessary. And here, in John, the man of God writes, in 1 John, in chapter 2, he writes, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, God bless the translators from the riches of his grace. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his return. This is so important. Already then it was important that it was said and that it was written down. But now, this word has been written for our time. And now, where the return of the Lord is really at the door. Now, the man of God writes, little children, abide in him, that if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, and he who abides in him abides in his word and in his will, that we, all of us, who we are gathered here, brothers and sisters who are listening and who will listen in future, that we may have confidence when he appears and not be ashamed before him at his return. Today, we cannot imagine it properly, how it will be if one is left behind, with those who are left behind. Beloved, take it to heart. God has given us this message alone for this purpose, only for the purpose that it foreruns the second coming of Christ, that the last call is addressed to the people of God. And I personally, I believe, out of conviction, I believe that all, who receive and believe what also Brother Branham was said, that the message which was entrusted to him, to this belongs the doctrinal part, the prophetic part, the evangelistic part. To this belongs the subject of the Godhead, of baptism, of the Lord's Supper, of the election. Every Bible subject are part of it. And by grace, God has given us the insight, and that we don't have any resistance, but we received it. I believe, out of conviction, that all who believe and receive now what God promised for our time, that they will be part of it. And brothers and sisters, let us not look at each other. Let us not look on those things which is not right in our lives as we would like to have it right. But we bring it to the Lord, and we know that the redemption is perfect. And we will be perfect at the return of the Lord. Already now. Let us emphasize it once again, that we have confidence at his return, and not be ashamed before him, being left behind. No, this is Matthew 25, verse 11 and 12. The foolish, they came too late, and they were knocking, and it was too late. Therefore, I say it once again, I believe out of conviction that all who now found grace before God, that they believe now with all their hearts, that they receive it, and that they dedicate their lives to the Lord, and that also we, out of conviction, that we are brought in agreement in our lives, and that we can say, I'm crucified with Christ. Now I live no longer, but Christ lives his life through me. He took our place here so that he can take dwelling in us, and so that he can live his life through us. Then the second scripture is in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Also this must be said and emphasized time and again. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But not only he without sin, also we must be without sin. And we are just now coming to the point why Brother Branham had to emphasize that the unbelief is the original sin. Unbelief is really the original sin. God God said in Genesis 2, he spoke to Adam. We all know what the Lord God said. And in Genesis 3, Satan came. And that, what the Lord God said to Adam, he questioned it. He sowed doubts. Should God really have said? Yes, God said it. God said, the day you will eat of it, ye must die. But the enemy came and he doubted it. He questioned it. Should God have said? And then you will be wise. You will be clever. Your eyes will be opened. He sowed doubt. And doubt merged in unbelief. And unbelief merged in transgression and in the separation from God. Brothers and sisters, as sure as unbelief merged in disobedience and in transgression, so sure the faith brings us back into the Word, brings us back to God, connects us with that what God has said. Now here, in Genesis chapter 3, we have it. And then also, especially in Genesis 3, verse 18, where the Lord spoke out the curse that thorns and thistles will be there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Why did our Lord bear the crown of thorns? Because of the curse. Thorns shall the field bring forth unto you. And when our Lord came to us, he bore the crown of thorns. He took the curse upon himself. He redeemed us. And he paid the price completely. And we may be his possession for time and for eternity. Please also, you newcomers, you young people, you who didn't have yet an experience with God, receive it, accept it by faith. God was in Christ and reconciled the world, reconciled you and me, reconciled us with God, has taken us out from death and transferred us into life. Then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, our Lord clothed Adam and Eve with coats of skins. In the German language, we have really the luck of preciseness. A calf has no skin, and a goat also not, only a lamb. In the other languages, it's a bit more difficult, but a lamb. Before Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden, two lambs had to give their lives so that the Lord can clothe them. So that the Lord could clothe them. And then we see the connection to the Lamb of God. Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It's just so good. If one goes back to the origin, back to the fall, to see what happened then, and then to see how the Lord made the damage well again. and how he really came to us, coming into a body of flesh to redeem us and to make all damage well. And then something very important now. Through the blood of the two lambs, the redemption could not take place. And therefore, the Lord God had to put cherubims before the entrance of the garden. Before the entrance, so that they take care of the tree of life. And the fiery sword went up and down, so that nobody can eat of the tree of life in the fallen condition, and then remaining immortal. Just imagine, the fallen human man would have eaten of the tree of life in the fallen condition. And then he would have been in the fallen condition for eternity. Whom would that have helped? God really took care of it, that his plan of salvation has really happened in that way as he planned and purposed it. So, as we can read it, brothers and sisters, we are coming really to the New Testament, to the important point to believe. To believe. Brothers and sisters, even the faith in the one God doesn't profit anyone, except we believe as the Scripture says, and everything what the Scripture says. Just imagine now what is written in James. Let us read it in James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. James 2, from verse 19. James 2, from verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. So, it's not enough to believe in one God. Many don't believe in God. Some believe in him. Also, let us say it in pain. Even the Jews who believe in one God, what good is it if they don't believe what God did in the revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord? So, then it continues. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Faith must be connected with the deed. Faith must be connected with obedience. And then it continues here. In verse 21 we read, was not Abraham our father justified by works? These are not works which you and I do according to our own efforts. These are works which we do what the Lord commanded us. For instance, in Mark 16, verse 16, when our Lord has said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be damned. So, he who believes is getting baptized, so that the faith is confirmed. If the person is not baptized, then something is hanging in the air. Then the foundation is missing. Then the faith, then to the faith is missing the deed, then is missing the obedience. And here it's called works. So, verse 21 again. When he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar, both Abraham believed God, and he saw the promise fulfilled. And when the Lord told him that he should sacrifice Isaac, then he didn't tell Sarah anything. Only he said something to his servant, come with me, we will go and worship. And then we will come again. We will return together. Just imagine, for him, that what the Lord said was a holy command. Really, a holy command. And therefore, it's emphasized here with a faith. Then verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. So, if we believe that God in our time finishes his plan of salvation, then we believe the promises which he has given unto us by his grace. We receive and we accept. Whether it's the subject of the Godhead or water baptism, there's no resistance in us. We believe with all our hearts. And only then, when we really believe, then it's revealed to us by the Spirit. Then we read in verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Let us be friends of God as brothers and sisters. Only then God's well-pleasing can really rest upon us. If we have an inner agreement to every word of God, and if we receive and accept what the Lord has to say to us in this time, then it's listed here what is connected with faith. Then we have the word from the Gospel of John. Also, this must be read time and again. John chapter 8. Here we have the kernel. Forgive me, excuse me. Brothers, the air conditioner.
Hier sehen, wie es gemeint ist und was unser Herr
John 8,
in Vers 24,
verse 24.
Vers 24.
John 8, 24.
Darum habe ich euch gesagt,
I say therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It's one of the most mighty words. He who does not believe is already judged. One cannot change it. One cannot change it. God can do nothing with unbelief. Absolutely nothing. He who wants to come to God must believe that he is,
and that he reveals himself to them who seek him. And listen now, listen closely, what the Spirit of God reveals for the first thing. John 16. John 16. Here we read from verse 8. John 16, verse 8.
And when he
is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And please listen now closely. As the first one, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Here unbelief is mentioned as the first thing. And the Holy Spirit convicts us, shows us by grace that we may believe, as the Scripture says. Here it says, three things are mentioned here, and three things are said here. Verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. They believe in God, but they don't believe that God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ for our salvation, and that he is the only manifestation of God here on the earth for our salvation. Therefore, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Righteousness. God justified us. We read it from Romans 8. But now, of righteousness, which God has given us in Christ, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Brothers and sisters, may it really touch our hearts today. Of sin, as the first, of sin, the sin of unbelief, the sin because they don't believe on me, of righteousness, which the Lord has given us, and that the Redeemer could return unto the throne of God, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, that the head of the serpent was bruised, that the sting of death was pulled out, and that the Lord is the victor over death and hell and over the devil, that he rose on the third day and he could cry out, I live, and ye shall live also. Please, brothers and sisters, when the Apostle John writes, he who is born of God sins not. He who is born of God, he can make a mistake, but he cannot commit the original sin. He cannot be found in unbelief. It's impossible. He who is born of God is joined with God. He has received the godly life in him. And therefore both is written. And should somebody sin? This is already in the plural. Not anymore the original sin of unbelief, but some kind of transgression. And then we can come to the Lord. And we know that he is still the high priest and that he forgives us. So, for me, it's just, it was so mighty, brothers and sisters. It's even one thing, to hear Brother Branham, what happened in the Garden of Eden, and even to say, on the same day it happened, on the same day, in the morning with the serpent, in the afternoon with Adam. Who could dare to say such things? And then Brother Branham says, the angel of the Lord stood in my room before me and he told it to me. And I pass it on to you in the name of the Lord. Let us emphasize it, because the beguiling happened here in this body, and the original sin happened in this body. Therefore, the Lord had to come into this body to really make all things well from the foundation. And when Brother Branham speaks of it, and he speaks of it a couple of times, that the unbelief is the original sin. And then he emphasizes that the Lord God spoke to Adam, and that the enemy sowed his doubts when he spoke to Eve. Don't permit that the enemy sows doubt in comparison to the Word of God. May it really happen with us that the faith becomes the victory which has overcome the world. That the faith has got a triumph, and that the faith leads unto victory. Then we have the wonderful places in Romans. One could actually read it every time. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What is being said here? Just very mighty things. The full gospel, the full salvation. Romans 8, verse 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And it continues, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. These are divine facts which remain forever. Everything has happened. Our Lord, on the cross of Calvary, he cried out, "It is finished." All the damage was made well. The Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. And for the redeemed, and because of the elect, it is written in Revelation 13 that our names were written into the Lamb's Book of Life, slain before the foundation of the world. God knew that we would be here today. God knew that we would believe. God is all-knowing. God is omni... God knows all things.
In das Buch des Lebens.
And he could write our names into the Lamb's Book of Life.
Into
the Lamb's Book of Life.
Damit wir diesen Begriff noch einmal betonen.
Let us emphasize this term once again. We have been invited to take part in the marriage of the Lamb. He, the Lamb of God, and we all who we believe in the unity of God, we believe, we know the same who walked in the Garden of Eden, the same who slaughtered the first two lambs and who clothed Adam and Eve, he is the same who revealed himself in all of the Old Testament. And he is the same who came to us. Just to mention it with one scripture, Luke 2, verse 11. For unto you today is born Christ, who is the Lord. Who is the Lord? Lord, he was in all of the Old Testament, but a body of flesh he made himself to walk on this earth, to then dwell in us who we are still in the flesh here. By faith he can dwell in our hearts. It's just a wonderful counsel of our God. Time and again one could sing, to you, the Lamb of God, be all the glory. Your sacrifice is accomplished. We have been made free of sin and guilt, as a German song goes. God didn't let Adam and Eve run. No, he clothed them and he took care of them so that they don't eat of the tree of life in the fallen condition. But that he who has immortality, that he gives it also to us. And we all know, according to 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 51, we, at the first resurrection, we will put on immortality. Just a wonderful plan of salvation of our God. And the Lord has given us the privilege to live now, to watch now all things, what was foretold for the end time, to then lift up our heads, for we know that our redemption is drawing near. But brothers and sisters, let us always imagine in how many charismatic Pentecostal churches they're speaking of the return of Christ, about the signs of the time. They're speaking about it. He who ever reads this magazine, Midnight Cry, he will always hear and read of the coming of the Lord. But who recognized what God promised for this time? Who believed what would take place before that? What must be before? And this is the grace which God has given to the elect, that we could recognize the time and the hour and the message. And we know, as John the Baptist at that time was sent, so Brother Branham was sent in our time as a man sent from God with the message which would forerun the second coming of Christ, and that our ways have crossed the way, that we heard of it, that we could believe, because it's still written in Isaiah 53, who has believed our message, and to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah 53 is that special chapter which shows our beloved Redeemer on the way to Calvary, describing him there. Our chastisement was laid on him so that we would have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. This is a divine fact. This has happened as true as God lives. Our chastisement was laid upon him so that we would have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. This is a forever remaining and true fact. Redemption, reconciliation, everything what God has given to us is irrevocable. It can never be taken back. As we have read, those whom he called, them he also justified, and them whom he justified, them he also blessed and glorified and sanctified. He made a perfect work of redemption. Let us say it in closing. The Lord God has a plan of salvation which he brings to completion in our time. We are at the beginning of April. Also for me, it's a special time. I look back to 53 years, and the Lord has really given grace. Much grace he has given throughout all these years. The trials and tests were extraordinary. They were unusual, sometimes unbelievable. But in the same way, the proclamation was accompanied. God has really done everything with all and with all who believe his word. And no man, one brother, he greeted us with Acts chapter 20, where Paul was given the commission. I'm not sure. I think it's chapter 22. Acts 22. Here it's verse 14. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. The God of our fathers. A call is the matter of God. No human being can do something for it. No Moses. Moses could do nothing. God appeared to him in a burning bush. Abraham, what could he do for it? That the Lord was coming to him with three. No prophet could add something to it. No man, no. The callings of God are God's matter. And I'm also very grateful. I'm grateful that God has not only sent Brother Branham with a message and then taking him into glory silently. No, that after his going home, the message is reaching all the ends of the earth. and that it really comes to fulfillment, that the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached unto all nations for a witness, and then the end shall come. And I tell you, the end is really at hand. Let us all remain sober. Let us all remain clear in our doings. But please, please, let us pay attention that we are part of the rapture, that we examine ourselves daily in the presence of God, daily examine ourselves, saying, Lord, if there is something which cannot stand before you, please take it from me. Wash me in your precious and holy blood. Purify me through your word. Sanctify me. Make all things in me what is necessary to be part of it. We close now with the two scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, that we at the return of the Lord are ready. And also Hebrews 9, 28, that we wait for it. And we are really in great expectation of the return of our Lord. And we believe that it will happen in our time. And may the Lord give grace to it, that also today, out of this observation of the word, of the fall on one hand, of the separation from God, of the death, and that the Lord has prepared a way, that he came himself to us to take us out from the fallen condition, redeeming us, giving us the adoption as sons and daughters of God by his grace. To him, the Almighty God, who has done so great things, the redemption was worthwhile, and as written, he has given his blood, the blood of the new covenant. He has given it for the blood of the new covenant, and also for all the New Testament believers, for the Old Testament believers. And therefore it's written that all are reconciled who are on earth and in heaven. The blood which was shed on the cross of Calvary, all of the Old Testament, they were waiting for it, and they knew that it would be shed for them. And without us, they could not be made perfect. They had to wait until the price was paid on the cross of Calvary to our beloved Lord and Savior. Be the honor now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us sing Just As I Am. As we are having our heads bowed in prayer, as we are opening our hearts before God, brothers and sisters and friends, let not this day pass by you. This is the day which the Lord has made for us. He who needs salvation can receive it and experience it today. He who needs healing can receive it home today. He who needs deliverance can be delivered today. God has given us everything. And when our Lord was reading in the synagogue, he was reading from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he anointed me to preach to the captives deliverance." Let us say today, if there are brothers in our midst today who are bound to smoking or to playing cards or bound to some kind of things where the devil is enslaving you, fooling you, that you really today can experience the deliverance, the perfect redemption. We're not only celebrating Good Friday, and we're not only remembering it, what happened, but it happened for us, for you, and for me, and for all. And every time when the Lord was having a meeting, then all came to him. All who needed salvation or healing or deliverance, they came to him. This is the purpose of a meeting, so that all can come to the Lord. And he has given us the promise to be in our midst and to confirm the word. It would be really good if some who would like to dedicate their lives to the Lord, especially, of course, the young people who have needs and troubles here, please don't worry. God is present. And the word accomplishes for what it was sent for. And the blood of the new covenant is valid for you. The curse was taken from all of us, and the blessing of the Almighty God comes over us. Let us sing once again, and he who comes may come, and the two sisters will sing us a song in the meantime. We sing "Just As I Am."
Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle. vollbracht. Jesus ist Sieger über den Tod. Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle Not. Jesus ist
we say amen. Beloved, you who have come to the front and wherever we might be in this building, when we sing Jesus is the victor over death, then this is of course a fact, a reality. He has risen. He could say to Thomas, reach over your hand, touch me, lay your hand in my wound. The same Jesus who was laid into the tomb has risen. He conquered death and Satan. And this victory is yours, is mine. This victory is ours. Receive it today. Accept it today by faith. Receive it by faith. Also you, Brother Simon, all of you, receive it by faith. Receive it in perfect faith. Precious Lord, you ever faithful God, here's your word. On the cross of Calvary, you paid the price. You bruised the head of the serpent. You pulled out the sting of death. And the redemption is accomplished. Deliverance, healing, salvation of the soul. And I pray for all who have come, that they are completely free, delivered completely by the power of God. In Jesus' holy name,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Believe it. Glorify the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. For great things He has done. Thank Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the victor. Let us sing glorious Calvary, glorious
Calvary. Oh.
Heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed of your presence, of an open heaven, of your mighty blessing tonight. And we believe, without doubting in our hearts, we believe that you have confirmed your word tonight in all those who have come here to the front and on all of us who we believe you with all our hearts. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for each one. Thank you for everything. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I don't find any words anymore. Lord, it's so well in the Lord. It's so well to be in your presence tonight. We praise you. We glorify you for your blood which you shed on the cross of Calvary, for the perfect redemption. We thank you and we praise you, all of us. May we all have a mighty testimony of what happened tonight in all of us. You have done great things in us. You have confirmed your word. We thank you. And we give you the glory. How great thou art. How great thou art. That's how we sing it in a song. But these words cannot express how great thou art of a truth. We cannot understand it. You are filling the whole universe. We thank you. And you redeemed us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this privilege of what you have done for all of us. May it have been the beginning tonight of your presence, which has been manifested in this supernatural way tonight. Please grant it. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us sing, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. All the people say, Amen. Blessed and praised be the Lord. Let us go in our rooms silently, speaking no unnecessary words, but pondering upon the words which the Lord has spoken to us. Let us go from here in gratefulness, and let us watch over our children, that everything runs in a divine order. And coming here again tomorrow with a new desire, come with gratefulness, come with joy into the house of the Lord. May the Lord bless you all and be with you all until tomorrow morning. Amen. Hallelujah be praised.
Hallelujah sei gepriesen. Amen.